It was on before I switched the button. Is it now? Okay, thank you. Well, before I forget, I just want to extend warm greetings from Alan and Marjorie Pike, with whom I had a few conversations this last week, and they kindly asked me to extend their greetings to you all, those of you who still remember them. They are fine, they are well, and Alan is still engaged in that local church where he serves, and that was one of the reasons he's been in touch with me to discuss a possible course for the future. Now I would like to invite you to open your Bible to a very well-known verse in Isaiah chapter 9. Maybe in the meantime, you can project it in both languages, if possible, English and Romanian. You choose which version of English translation. And then you can return to this slideshow. If it's too difficult, leave it then. For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen. Father, as we stand before your word today, we pray once again that what we don't know, you teach us. What we don't have, you give us. What we are not, you make us. Through this word, through the power of your Holy Spirit working in us, and for the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Wow, almost there. One more week and Christmas is coming. But I wonder, are we all so full of expectations, joy, ready for it? Different feelings. We heard of what happened on Friday night towards Saturday morning to one of Chris's sons, Steve, who passed away at just 46. Sad news, I've just learned yesterday morning. Many of you may have different circumstances and you wonder, am I ready to celebrate Christmas? Will I be able to fully enjoy, focus on the real meaning of Christmas? If you are to describe what you are feeling right now, your own context of life, and choose one or two words, how would you describe this season for you personally? A joyful season? A meaningful season? Or a sad season? Christmas means different things for different people, especially when we focus on the circumstances around us. We wish to one another various messages, and we send cards, and often we say, we wish you a Merry Christmas, Happy Christmas. Will it be a happy Christmas? I can't guarantee this thing. But this morning, I would like to guarantee another thing. Doesn't matter what your life circumstances is right now, what's going in your life, what are you going through in life, you can still experience a wonderful Christmas. And because of that, I decided to preach today a wonderful Christmas message. But not because I prepare a wonderful message, or I am able to preach in a wonderful way. As a matter of fact, I'm often disappointed of my preaching. It's not necessarily wonderful, but it's going to be a wonderful Christmas message because of the subject, of the person who is in the center of this message and who should be in the center of our Christmas celebration. The prophet Isaiah, with a mind illuminated by the Holy Spirit, looked down around 740 years, and he saw the coming of Jesus Christ and uttered the sublime words of our text today. In them is wrapped up a word of meaning concerning the divine glory, the matchless character, and the wonderful office of our Lord Jesus. But this morning, I would like to limit our attention or focus to one clause in this great verse. His name shall be called Wonderful. Now, if you have your NIV, ESV, or other translations, most of these ones, they chose to not add a comma, so they linked wonderful with the next characteristic of Jesus, wonderful counselor. So even here, we have it that way. It's an NIV translation. It's not necessarily wrong. However, when I asked you earlier on, can you have them both? English and Romanian, as it was, yeah. Even in Romanian, I can say I'm proud of our translation. They add this comma here. Wonderful, in Romanian, minunat, sfetnic, counselor, and so on. Because, you see, this verse can be split at least in two. The first part, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, declares some special realities about Jesus Christ, and we are going to focus a little bit on them later on. In this brief introduction, we have the full humanity of Jesus, a child is born. We have described the full deity of Jesus, a son is given, and the full royalty or even sovereignty of Christ. And the government will be on his shoulders. But then this verse 6 ends with five titles that characterize the rule or the ruling powers of this coming Messiah. And the first one is Wonderful. Wonderful. That's why I've entitled our message, please go back to my PowerPoint, A Wonderful Christmas Message. The first part of this sermon is going to be a short exposition, so bear with me. We're going to study a little bit of Hebrew and a few other verses in the Bible. And then the second part is going to be more practical because we are going to look at some applications. Can we have the PowerPoint, please? Why I choose, I am among those who choose to separate this. And today we are going to mainly focus on the first word, wonderful. Now, if we are to read in Hebrew, first of all, just to let you know, for those of you who may not know, every now and then it's happening in the Bible that verses are not corresponding with the translation. So here we have Isaiah 9:6. In the Hebrew Bible, it's number 5, verse number 5. It happens often, especially in Psalms. Now, as a rule of thumb, we just need to remember that in the original, we don't have chapters, we don't have verses. So it's not a big deal. Another very simple or basic lesson about Hebrew, they write from right to left, not from left to right. Okay? Now, if we are to read the second part here, who dares to try? Let me try. Vayikra Shemol, they will call his name. Pele Yoetz El Gibor Abi Ad Sar Shalom. Now, again, in the original Hebrews, they only use consonants, they had no vowels. So the Hebrew language, originally, they only used 22nd consonants, no vowels at all. Over time, even Hebrews, they forgot how to pronounce words. So the scribes, Masoretes, later on, they had to come up with a system to add vowels to these words. So what you see, the big letters, these are the consonants, and these little dots and signs above, below, things like that, you see that little detail underlined, these are the vowels that were added later on. That adds a lot of meaning and the way we may understand today. When I study Hebrew in seminary, only 4 years of Hebrew, one of the things that our professor always told us, and we had to have proper printing material, sometimes A3 in Hebrew, to work on the text. And our professor used to say, be very careful where you keep those papers with a Hebrew text, because if one fly sits on the paper, messes up the whole message. One dot, two dots, three dots changes the whole meaning. So even one little tiny thing here, like you see, bet, it can be, you know, read b, b, or v. You know, just that dot changed the whole point. So you can't blame the translators if some chose to put wonderful counselor or wonderful, comma, counselor. In a sense, both of them are true, and I will explain why. I stand among them who believe it should be wonderful, and this sets the whole meaning for everything else that follows. Wonderful counselor, wonderful mighty God, wonderful Prince of Peace, wonderful. But even this word wonderful lost its meaning nowadays. And that's why we need to learn a bit more Hebrew. So, after the end of this service, you may discuss, so what do you think about this sermon today? Oh, it was wonderful. What do you think about the service? It was wonderful. When you have a meal, let's say, Christmas meal, how was it? Wonderful. We mean nice. Yeah, nice. Maybe sometime we may add a little bit more value to it. But wonderful weather, wonderful vacation, wonderful people, wonderful songs, nice, beautiful songs or things. It's not what it meant in Hebrew. It's a lot more. So even when we are to think of Jesus as being wonderful, he's not just nice and beautiful. It's way, way more than this. That's why I guarantee this Christmas, if you really get the true meaning of Christmas and who Jesus is, it's going to be a wonderful Christmas. Even if you are experiencing loss, suffering, troubles, issues, pressures in life. Now, the word that describes wonderful here is Pele. Pele. Pele, it's more than just nice, beautiful, or maybe even marvelous. It goes beyond the natural. It describes something supernatural, something that exceeds expectations, something miraculous. So we could actually say miraculous instead of wonder, or just wonder, which is a miracle. Wonderful, it's okay if we know what to pour in this meaning. Let me give you a few more examples in the Bible. For instance, in Exodus 15, after the people of God, led by Moses, they crossed through the Red Sea. If you want, you can open, but I'm just gonna describe the context. And then, after this experience, Moses writes a song. And when he described that experience of crossing through the Red Sea, he uses the same word, Pele, miraculous. That wasn't just a nice experience to see the Red Sea split and the whole people of God crossing through. And then, you know what happens after? That wasn't just a wonderful, nice, beautiful experience. That was a miracle that you cannot explain. That's the word Pele. So when we are to apply that meaning to everything that follows, for instance, miraculous counselor, wonderful, yeah, counselor. This is something that exceeds any expectations. You sometimes may have to go to receive some counseling, either from someone in the church, from a pastor, or from a professional. And we expect things to change. But sometimes we may be disappointed by that counseling. And they do what they can do in the human realm with our resources. Jesus does far more. He is a miraculous counselor because he deals with us personally. He diagnoses us properly, and he delivers us from that issue powerfully. He is miraculous counselor because, think with me, every other ruler in this world, king, president, prime minister, we know that every one of them used to have, or they are still having, counselors around, people who advise them. Well, he is the king who doesn't need anyone else to offer counsel. He is the miraculous counselor. And we can apply the same rule for everything that follows. For instance, mighty God. Now, why would you add wonderful before mighty? Wonderful or miraculous, mighty God. It's already mighty God. Well, again, if we go to the next slide. The word we have in Hebrew, gibor, refers to strength, mighty, or power, but not in a usual way that often we refer, like strength. You know, a child boasts with his father, "Oh, my father is powerful, he has strong muscles." For that in the Bible, we actually have a different word. This time, that word is husk in Hebrew. This time the word used here, gibor, refers to strength proven in a military context, in war. Right? So the word gibor here, it's not just simple strength, but strength used in battle.
There are different words in Hebrew. And that's why he is miraculous, because he is not just powerful and strong, but he had proven this strength in every battle he fought. And we only have around 10 references like this in the Bible. For instance, in 1 Samuel 16, verse 18, when Saul, you remember, struggled with an evil spirit, and they sent someone to find the person that can help him. If you turn with me in Exodus chapter 15. I said Exodus? No, it's 1 Samuel 16. And soon I'll finish with these technical things. Chapter 16, verse 18. Then one of the servants answered and said, "Look, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing and mighty man of valor, a man of war." The word is Gibor. He's not just strong, but he had proven that strength in a war, in a battle, which for us, it's important to know, because this child that we celebrate of Christmas, he is a miraculous, a wonder, a wonderful, mighty God, a warrior, one who fights our battles, one who can deliver us from any battle, issue, pressure of life. His name is wonderful. There is one verse, and actually Peter just referred to this. I had it already noted in my notes. Well, put it in my notes. In Judges chapter 13, we have the whole chapter describing how the angel of the Lord came to a man called Manoah and his wife, predicting the birth of Samson. Every time in the Bible when we read about the angel of the Lord, we know that this is a reference to a Christophany, if you like, not just a theophany. A manifestation of Christ in the Old Testament. We don't go into these details because we don't have enough time for that. But every time we have this reference, we know this is Jesus. Now, we read verse 3, "The angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, 'Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son.'" Verse 6, "So the woman came and told her husband, saying, 'A man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God, very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and listen, and he did not tell me his name.'" Now, we don't have time to read through the entire chapter, but verse 16, "And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'Though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord.' For Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'What is your name, that when your words come to pass, we may honor you?'" And this verse 18 is crucial here. "And the angel of the Lord said to him, 'Why do you ask my name? Seeing it is wonderful.'" Wonderful. This is my name. Not just nice. My name in its own is a wonder. It's a miracle. And in here we can see everything else that we know from the Old Testament, especially from Exodus, when even God introduced himself to Moses, I am that I am. I am the one that causes all things to come in existence. I am all sufficient. I am that I am. It's wonderful. It's amazing. It's beyond natural, beyond expectation. It's miraculous. So Jesus is wonderful. And he promises us to have a wonderful Christmas, a miraculous Christmas. Now, let's be a little bit more practical. Before these names, Isaiah the prophet looked through the telescope of prophecy, and as I said, roughly 740 years, he looked into the future, and he saw three things, referring to, unto us a child is born, a son is given, and so on. He saw, please carry on, a cradle. And to us a child is born. A cradle of incarnation. A child is born in the flesh. He saw that through the telescope of time. In 1 Timothy chapter 3:16, we read, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Great is what? The mystery. It's a wonder. It's a wonder, the whole idea of incarnation. We can try to explain it as much as we can. It is helpful. We try it every Christmas season to preach about it. But it's still beyond our imagination how that was possible. It's a mystery. It's a majesty. A cradle of intervention. When God decided to intervene, to come into our context, into our world, every now and then in the Old Testament, he did so often to judge, to discipline, and sometimes to save. Here are a few examples. In the days of Noah, he saw the wickedness of the people, so he had to intervene in our world. And we know the end. When later on people decided to build a tower to reach to God, the Tower of Babel, God had to intervene again and confuse their language, their speech. That's why now we speak different languages. It's as a result of God's intervention to that event. In the times of Jonah, God was about to intervene in Nineveh to destroy them. But also God intervened by sending them a prophet with a message and they repented. When Paul, called Saul at that time, was on his way to persecute the church on the road to Damascus, Jesus Christ, this wonderful God, wonderful child, intervened and he stopped him from his intentions, changing his directions, changing his entire life. What Paul saw was so wonderful. Was so wonderful that his eyes, physical eyes, couldn't resist that beauty, that splendor, that majesty. And he did so in your own life. That's why you are here today. And he can do so today too. Doesn't matter what is your situation, your context of life. A cradle of inspiration. I think you can follow me. It's behind. God sent his son. And during that time, in Luke 2, we read that angels sang, shepherds searched for the child, wise men sacrificed. We read that in Matthew. And we too should be inspired today to search, to worship, to serve him as a result. Because he gave us a son, his deity.
Christmas is about giving, and I read about a 90-year-old lady who one Christmas found buying presents a bit too much. So she decided that this specific Christmas, she's just going to send a check in a card to her family and friends. So she wrote in the card, "Buy your own present." But she forgot to include the check. See, demo, send them all, and everyone got a huge surprise. She didn't intend this. Now Jesus, when God actually sent Jesus, he didn't say, buy your own present. He did so for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Isaiah looked and saw a cross as well. When he said this, a son is given. It's not just given in a bodily form as a baby to us, but is given as a sacrifice. And he saw a cross. In Galatians chapter 2:20, Paul, reflecting on what God did for us, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's a good decision. When you understand that God gave his Son as a lamb, as one who is going to pay for my trespasses, for my sins, for my penalty. He says, I'm not just enjoying this gift and live a selfish life. But now, although I live for him. I'm ready to crucify my flesh, my desires, my expectations. And this is a miracle. In a selfish world, in a world that is all about give me, give me, give me, give me. Even in a contemporary church where it's all about what does the church do what does for me? What is the church doing for me? What do I do for Christ? What do I do for the church? What do I do for the world? If I understand this great sacrifice, Isaiah saw a cross. But he also saw a crown. A crown. The government shall be upon his shoulders. Royalty, sovereignty. It began with the crown of thorns, and we made reference to that. But then it turned into a crown of glory. Not a normal crown, but that Shekinah glory surrounding the light, that special light of God. And actually Marie read those verses from John chapter 1. When Christ came, he came to be the light of the world. He is light. Shekinah glory, it's something that theologians are still pondered and amazed, and another miraculous thing. Rabbi describe that the only light that doesn't leave any shadow. You see, there is a shadow behind me, this powerful, strong light. You stand in the outside in the most powerful sunny day, you have shadow. Because even the most powerful light in this world, do you know why it gives this shadow? It doesn't penetrate through us. That's why we have this shadow. God's light penetrates through everything. Shekinah glory.
He is not crowned only with that, but the Bible refers to a crown of gold. Again, we can only imagine how that may look like. In Revelation 14:14, we read, John says, I looked and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Sickle? Sickle. Okay, that's something of the first part of the verse that Isaiah saw through the telescope of prophecy. Now, a little bit of application. Just in case this isn't enough for you, perhaps you are one of those who has trouble reading between the lines or the nails of Jesus. Here is something for you. Or maybe you get it, but some practical details may help you to share with someone else. What's so wonderful about Jesus? How can you go outside and tell to someone that doesn't understand Hebrew and all those things we've discussed so far? What's so wonderful about Jesus? You can simply share a few things. One, he's wonderful or miraculous in his nature. 100% God, 100% human. How that come together? How that came to pass? How that happened? It's a mystery. It's a wonderful thing. And he still is the same way. 100% God, 100% man, reigning in heaven. And God remains God, unadulterated, unaltered in his essence. Yet his Son is divine and human. He's wonderful in his nature. He's wonderful in his character. Just study through the Bible, all the Gospels. So wonderful. A character that he wishes to, what's the word for imprint in us, reflect through us. And Jesus is wonderful in his work. Everything he had done, he's doing and will continue to do. The work of creation, he preceded creation and yet he produced creation. We read again in John 1. He is the one in whom creation had its beginning, continues today, and will be consummated in God's own time. He is the divine glue that holds the universe in its present state. If he were to cease to exist, someone said, the universe would fly into a chaotic oblivion. He is the one who makes the universe a cosmos instead of cosmos, or instead of chaos. He does the same thing for a life as he does for the creation. He can change or turn your chaos into order today. He is wonderful in the work of salvation, the work of reconciliation, the work of restoration. I mean, look at you, who used to be and who you are. And yet you are not the final product. There is still a lot more. We are working in process. But he is wonderful in doing this. He exchanged our sin for his holiness. He exchanged our hell for his heaven. He exchanged our death for his life. He exchanged our judgment for his peace. He exchanged our hopelessness for his happiness. He exchanged our sick heart for an eternal hallelujah in heaven. Isn't it this wonderful? So when people are asking you, what's so wonderful about Jesus? Tell them these things, but there is even more to say. Jesus has a wonderful heart to love us. His love is not just a nice, lovely type of human love. It's miraculous. Once again, this word describes a lot more, far more than I can even imagine. Christ said, greater love hath no man, and you know the verse. And we don't have time to expand these things, but it's an unmerited love. We don't deserve it. Unselfish, unending love. Unending. You'll never, ever reach the end. I read about a story, a true one, in an elementary class, decided to put together a holiday program, and towards the end, like a nativity, okay, they rose to sing Christmas Love. And in doing so, the one who put together the whole story, they gave every child a letter, and each letter stands for Christmas Love. And while they were singing, the first person came with C, and then with R, I, and so on. And the person who held the M, a young, well, all of them were children, so an innocent girl, she kept holding the letter upside down, and instead of M, it turned to be W. So she was very proud sitting there, everybody amused, and some of them laugh. She didn't bother, she didn't realize what happens. Everyone else carry on. And when the whole message was there, and it's supposed to be Christmas love, it ended up to be Christ was love. And you know what? He still is love. The amazing, wonderful, surpassing love. Jesus has wonderful hands to keep us in all circumstances of life. We don't have time to go through so many verses, but in the Gospels, there are so many references to his hands. For instance, in Matthew 14, when Peter had that amazing experience on walking on water, and he was so proud of him, and everyone else was amazed, and fine, until he looked at the wave and the storm, and he started to sink. Christ's hand was there to hold him, keep him from sinking. So during this Christmas, if you look at the circumstances of your life, the wave, the storms, you think, how can I keep my head above the water? With this loss, with this financial crisis, with this recession, with the bills that I have to pay, with the loneliness that I experience, how can I keep my head above the water? How can I not sink in life? Well, Jesus is there to hold you. These are the same hands that formed the heavens and the earth, and yet grasped Mary's finger as an infant. And it's the same hand that grasped onto little ones like you and me, never given the chance to fully collapse. The same hands that fashion wood in his dad's shop or workshop. The same hands that wrote in the sand rather than pointing the finger of condemnation at that adulterous woman. The same hands that touch the blind eyes, the deaf ears. Same hands that replaces Malchus's ear in the Gethsemane. Same hands that broke bread enough for a multitude, and same hands that broke bread for the communion. He's holding you and me in his hands. Same hands that wipe tears from others and from himself when he was at Lazarus' tomb. The same hands that are going to wipe our tears in heaven. He is capable to hold you. What's so wonderful about Jesus? The words say he has wonderful hands. What else? He has wonderful eyes. He has wonderful eyes. And time flies. Briefly, the eyes of the Lord go to and from upon the earth, we read. His eye sees the hopeless, the helpless, the helper. He sees everything which should challenge us to do right and encourage us that we are never alone. He sees us, he sees our struggles, he sees our needs, he sees our darkness, and he can turn it into light. Jesus has wonderful ears to hear us, all our prayers. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. He hears our pleas, our praise, our prayers. Jesus has a wonderful book to guide us. What's so wonderful about him? He has this wonderful book to guide us. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light into our path. It blesses us, it builds us, it burns us what needed, as Jeremiah was burned within. Even Albert Einstein once was asked what is his opinion about Jesus. And he said, I'm a Jew, but I'm enthralled by the luminous figure of the Nazarene. Einstein was then asked if he accepted the historical existence of Jesus, to which he replied, unquestionably. No one can read the Gospels, listen, without feeling the actual presence of Jesus in them. No one. So, do you feel lonely this Christmas? You know, although it may be the happiest for some, it's the loneliest for others. Stats show that around Christmas, a lot of suicidal thoughts or suicidal acts happens. People are lonely. Do you feel lonely? Well, a friend can help, but no one like Jesus. Open up his book, and like Einstein, you'll say, it's impossible not to feel the actual presence of Jesus in your life. Jesus has a wonderful spirit to comfort us, the Holy Spirit. Jesus is building a wonderful home for us in the Father's presence. I need to conclude. Soon, the worship team is going to lead us in a final song referring to this wonderful, but it's not this song, it's another one. However, I read about the story of His Name is Wonderful, written by Audrey May Meyer, who lived in between 1916 and 1996. An evangelical pianist that ordered minister in the International Church of Foursquare Gospel. She wrote many other songs known to us. I'll never be lonely. All he wants is you. Or something more than gold for the master. Now, when she wrote Wonderful is His Name, she was part of a church service in a church called Bethel Union in California. Her brother-in-law, Dr. Luther Meyer, was the pastor. And before he's supposed to preach, children run a program. And during that sort of program, nativity, you may want to call it, then they refer effectively to this verse, Isaiah 9:6. It was lovely. Everyone was really overwhelmed with that fragrance and sound. And they felt the gentle moving of the Holy Spirit in the church. The pastor just stood, and before he gathered his thought for the sermon, he just said, "He is wonderful. He is wonderful." Perhaps he had prepared a different sermon, so I don't know. Sometimes you just have to say, well. She was inspired in the pew. Said, "Oh, I never thought that." So she took the Bible, looked at the concordance, just to find how many times there is this reference in the Bible. And at the back of her Bible, she started writing this song. She finished it at home later on. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is he. Bow down before him. Love and adore him. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. Can you say the same thing today? Will it be a wonderful Christmas? It will. If you know Jesus, if you are in his hands, if you know that he is watching over you, he hears you, you have his book, you have his spirit, you know he prepares for your home in heaven, how can it be otherwise? His name is wonderful. Amen.
Thank you, Daniel.